Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome, everyone. This week's Haftarah is Shabbos HaGadol, which literally means the big Shabbos. And this is a big Haftarah, very important, very significant Haftarah. In fact, some people say the name Shabbos HaGadol comes from the Haftarah. Because the very last line, the second to last line on the Haftarah, on 1221, line 23, mentions about the big day. The word Yom Hashem HaGadol HaNora. And basically, Pesach is our redemption. Pesach is the seed of our redemption. It's the holiday that we became a people with. And it's a holiday that shows that it's not just that Hashem created the world many thousands of years ago and lets it float, but that He's actively involved in our lives, and He loves us, and He oversees us, and cares about us. And throughout our history, Pesach has been a time where even when the Jewish people strayed, it brings them back. And what's interesting is that out of all rituals, Pesach, even people that are very secular, many of them celebrate Pesach or they find meaning in Pesach. In this Haftorah, it mentions that Pesach will precede, the keeping of Pesach will precede the redemption. And that's called the Yom HaGadol, the big day. That's what it says over there. We'll talk about that. This is the very last book of the prophets. Malachi is the name of this prophet. And it's the very last, this is the very end of the Tanakh. Very interesting, coming as the very, because there's so many, hundreds and, thousands of pages, and this is the very last prophecy that was given. And it understood that we were leaving the land of Israel. Prophecy only came in the land of Israel, and we were going to be scattered amongst the nations, and that we were promised that there would be an eventual redemption. And the model for redemption is always Pesach, because that was the first time that we were in big trouble, we were in slavery, we were challenged, and Hashem manipulated history to pull us out and took us out. And so that's the prototype for future redemption also, that he'll save us and he'll bring us out. So therefore, we'll mention that in a minute. Okay, so let's take a look here. Now, we always have to keep in mind, sometimes people look at the Haftorahs and they say, oh, they're all so critical. But that's what a prophet was. The purpose of being a prophet was to straighten us out. It wasn't there to say, you're great, you're wonderful, keep up the good work. That's nice too, and I'm sure they said those kind of prophecies. But the purpose of the prophets were that when we were doing something wrong, we had someone who would come to us and say, hey, you made a mistake. You're doing something wrong. God isn't happy. That was a message from Hashem to change our ways. And so naturally, a lot of the prophecies are negative because the purpose of it's like seeing the principal come in. Whenever you see the principal come in, that he gets called in the classroom, you know that there's something, he got called in for a reason. He's not just here to make small talk. It's because, so that's what the prophets were, is that they came to give us a message that we had work to do. And we're fine with that. We know that the human condition from the very beginning is such that we're going to make mistakes. Somehow people are too fragile. In other words, that they don't want to admit mistakes. And if you don't want to admit mistakes, you're never going to fix them. We try to work on ourselves that we're open to, if we make a mistake, we want to fix it. If we wrong someone, we're happy if they tell us, I'll try to be more careful not to hurt your feelings the next time, or not to, people are sensitive. I want to do that. I don't want to. But we're going to hear that. Again, that's going to come up in the prophets. But the very first message, if you remember, we had some very stern messages in the earlier prophets about, that Hashem didn't want our service. And this is what happened. And again, one of our themes, going back all the way to the giving of the Torah and the two tablets, is that to be being a Jew means two things, that you are together with God and you're together with people. Those are the two tablets. You have to be a loving, good, kind, giving person. And that means that people should like you, and you should want to help people and give to people. And then you have to be pious and spiritual, and you know, keep all the mitzvos, and you need to do both. That's really that's why we have two tablets. And in the earlier prophets, there were a lot of people weren't in the society. They were taking advantage of the poor and taking advantage of the widows and the orphans and the strangers. But they brought the sacrifices. And what the prophet said is, I don't need those sacrifices. If you're not gonna be a good person, if you're gonna, you know, cheat in business and not be a good employer and not be a good spouse and take advantage of people that have no one to look out for them, I'm not interested in your sacrifices. So that was the message. We had that. If you remember, like the Tisha B'Av message and the Haftorah, and the message was those kind of, God doesn't want your offerings to Him if you're not a good person. You have to, part of serving Hashem, this is what really, you know, bothers me about Islam, or the type of Islam that we're seeing, is that what kind of religion is it that just bombs and kills people, innocent people? Like what? How does that work? Religion, to me, it's so ingrained that the whole idea of religion is to make a better person, mm-hmm. to make us more sensitive, more caring, more loving, more giving. So, okay, so you don't have the same brand of religion that I have. You call your God a different name, you have it. But shouldn't the purpose of religion be to make you a better person? How do you go and bomb innocent people and maim them? And what kind of religion is that? I don't understand it. I really don't. But that's a different subject. The truth is, it says about Yishmael that his hand, there's something about him that his hand will be against everybody. There's something about it says that. But he'll come back too. But our purpose of our serving Hashem and our Shabbos and our prayers and our being pious and our eating matzah is to be good people. And we have to always balance the two. I believe that if every Orthodox person was also Orthodox in their way they dealt with their fellow man, you know, being kind and loving and giving, then I think everybody would still be observant. I think the reason why some people don't, that they don't understand what is all this, you know, kosher laws and Shabbos and mikvah and everything else, because they see it as separate from sometimes we do one part and we ignore the other. In other words, we really have to always focus on both. We have to
get rid of two words, dati or lo dati.
Okay, that's a good way to put it, right? So, but that was somewhat the message of the prophets. And so the prophets were saying, you know, we don't need this service. God said, I've had enough, you know, that some of the people thought that they took advantage of the poor, they took advantage of the widows, they took advantage of the strangers. And then, like I said, as long as they brought their offerings, everything was okay. And Hashem said, that's not okay. I wasn't interested in those kind of offerings. Because our observance or our connection to being religious has to equally be a connection to being religious in loving our fellow people, and religious in being a giving person and helping others. And that's part of being religious. That's clear that those were the two tablets. So in the earlier books, we had some, you know, God was basically, I mean, he closed up shop. He closed the temple. He said, that's it. So you might have thought that, you know what, he's not interested. So the very first thing that starts off here is, guess what? It's going to open up again. That there'll be a time at the end of this long exile, that our offerings will be sweet. And that's the very first word, va'arva, this Haftorah. Now, this Haftorah also doesn't begin at the beginning of the chapter. I don't know if you noticed that. The chapters, as I mentioned to you, don't always get it straight. They sometimes start in the middle, they end in the middle. But this, the very first word, and again, being the very last prophecy, this is important, because what it's saying is, yeah, Hashem said, I'm closing up shop, no more offerings, and people use that as an excuse to, they did the wrong things, and then they brought some people would worship idols, and then they'd bring offerings. They flood us, as long as I go to the temple, everything will be fine. So Hashem says, va'arva l'Hashem, in the future, our offerings will be sweet to God. It's not that the offerings aren't precious. It's not, it's just that they, they have to go together with the other things about being loving and caring, worrying about the poor, the orphan, and the widow, and taking care of others. And so therefore, he makes that very clear. V'orva l'Hashem minkas Yehudu Yerushalayim. And it'll be pleasing, or orva means like sweet. So even though, now this is the problem, some people will selectively read, oh, you see, God closed, isn't interested in the Jewish people's services. And no, that's the, he makes it very clear, v'orva l'Hashem, it'll be sweet, not just good. Sweet is like, today we use that, something is sweet, that's like extra good. You say, how is it? They say, oh, it's sweet. You know, that's the way the Haftorah says. I don't know why he just says pleasing, but it really means sweet, the arva. We, you know where else we use that? Anybody recognize that word?
At the end of the Shemana Esrei.
Where? The? Oh yeah, that part is true, but there also, I'm talking about the word va'arev. The word va'arev, it's used in a blessing we make every day. You're correct. The second half of the verse is in the end of Shemana Esrei, but the word va'arev, the blessing we make on Torah study, it begins va'harevna, same word. And it's very interesting. We don't make a blessing to study Torah. We make a blessing that it should be sweet. Because we want, people learn when they enjoy what they're learning. And one of the things we ask God is to make our learning sweet, that we should have meaning to us and understanding and be sweet to us. That's the blessing of Torah learning. Varevna, that's the Steve Sarasub Afino Fiamko Bezisro, Nianahdu Klanet Set Set Sayamko Bezisro. That's what the first word it begins with is Baharevna. Let it be, please be sweet. That's the beginning of that blessing. So there it's referring to Torah study. Here it's saying that our service to God will be sweet. Now, it's very interesting. It mentions here the mincha. Now, the mincha was the flour offering. So this was the cheapest offering. The poor person could bring them in, even if you didn't have any money. It's not about money. It's not about donating. You know, God needs our big fat donations, our the big donations. Flour, you know, how much does it cost to bring flour? Flour is like, today is a few dollars, you could bring a flour offering. So Hashem says it'll be precious to him, even the flour offerings. Then it says, Yehudu Yerushalayim, and he says, Kimei Olam Ukshanim Kadmaniyo. It's a very interesting expression, like the days of old and the former years. Sometimes you feel like you can never go back, like, you know, that was then, this is now, and, you know, life, you know, but Hashem says it'll just be like the good old days. It's going to be sweet, and it's not going to be expensive, just the flower offerings, and it's going to be, everything will be great. Now we got to get to the harsh part. Like we said, he's a prophet. There's some things he's going to fix. But there's one caveat. So this, by the way, we all want Mashiach, right? We all want the good stuff. But there is a certain scary part of the Messianic times too. And that is that if people are doing the wrong things, they're not going to be so happy. The Mashiach isn't going to be so happy with them. There's going to be justice too. So this is what he says. Again, he's referring to the future. And he said, don't worry, I'm going to love your service again. Even though we had times where it wasn't good, it's going to be sweet again. And don't worry, some people feel that they could never go back and they're tainted. No, that's not the way. We believe in teshuva. You can go back. It'll be just like the good old days. But when you come back, there's some people will have to give an accounting. Verse 5, the karafti oleyam lamishpat. We're going to have justice. Vayisi eid memahir. And he has a list here of certain sins that people did. The first one is a little bit difficult for us, witchcraft, sorcerers. It's hard to know today what that sin would be, because we don't have... it could be that people that did witchcraft did all kinds of other things together with the witchcraft. In the Middle Ages, I don't know, they were into witchcraft. Salem, they burnt the witches. I don't know what the... but there were people. A lot of times that was done in secret. It was some kind of so he's going to punish for the witchcraft, umanafim, adultery, ubinishboim l'sheker, people that swore falsely, that didn't keep their word, and ubaosek skar sacher, people who didn't pay their employees. people who owed wages to people. People worked hard, they deserved to be paid, and they weren't paid. That's in Hashem's book. Almana, the widow, doesn't have a husband to defend her. People took advantage. V'yasim, and the orphan. Umate ger, and what about the stranger and the convert? And the bottom line is, v'lo yiruni, they didn't respect God, they didn't fear God. So, this is what Hashem says, and there'll be, in the future, you'll come back, and things will be sweet again, but some people will have to fix certain things. They'll have an accounting to give. Verse 6. Now, you might say, well, that's different. Maybe it's no longer necessary. No. Hashem says, I'm God. I don't change. God says the same things. You got to be loving, got to be giving, got to be caring, can't take advantage of others. I'm not going to change my mind about these things. And Ba'atem and you, B'nei Yaakov lo kelisim. The Jewish people, you're descended from Yaakov. Yaakov refers to the Jewish people in struggling. Yaakov is the, Yisrael was the name that he got after he didn't struggle anymore. He defeated the angel. Yaakov means the heel. You, the Jewish people, the sons of Yaakov, lo kelisim, you'll never be destroyed. Verse 7, the Me'ab Usechem Sarte Mechuchai. Now, from the days of your forefathers, people have turned away. V'lo shamartem, and you didn't keep everything. So again, sometimes it shouldn't cause us to lose hope. We know we look around; not everybody's doing everything. So, but God says, you know what? You've been doing that for a long time. That's from the days of the forefathers. But shuva elai, it's very interesting. It's a beautiful kind of thing. He says, you know what? Come back to me, and I'll come back to you. We have in other places that if we just make a little bit of a move towards God, then he'll make a big move towards us. You just got to have the opening. In other words, so that's what he says. He says, come back to me, and I'll take you back. Omer Hashem, and Hashem it uses the word Tzvakos, which means the God of the legions. He has many forces. And sometimes we feel like, how's he going to take us back? We got so many Arabs, we got so many non-Jews, we got so many reasons that this isn't going to work. No, it's Hashem Tzvakos. It's Hashem who has power over the millions and billions and trillions of things. V'martam b'manashuv. So people might be saying, well, give us an example. What's something we could fix? Verse 8. Hayikva adam elokim ki atem kovenosi. People are taking away from God. In other words, in the land of Israel, they're obligated to tithe. And the tithes went to the Kohanim, and to the Levium, and to the poor. Those were the three segments. And the people had stopped giving. They weren't taking care of others. So when you stop giving, you're taking from God. Because everything we have comes from Hashem. And if we don't give, then we're taking what belongs to Him. And you're going to say, "Bema kavacha, maisra truma," what you're taking from God is you're not giving. And we have a rule, when you don't give, then a person isn't blessed. We believe that when people do good things with their wealth, then Hashem blesses them. Verse 9, he said that you're causing a curse when you don't take care of others. What's interesting is that up until now, for the large part, even Jews that were secular were always known for being very generous. If you look at like the top 10 givers, or the even Jewish millionaires that are very secular, it's somehow in their blood that you got to give, you got to care for others. What they worry about is that they keep on saying that they're not sure if it's going to carry on to the next generations. But I bet they've been saying that for a long time. But there are people that are totally secular. And they feel responsibility to give, to share if Hashem gave them wealth, they feel a need to share it. So he speaks to them and he says, Havi is kol ha-maiser. You know what? Everybody should bring their maiser to the temple. To beis otzer, behi ter pevesi. And you might say, this is expensive. If I give away some of my wealth, then I won't be able to do the things I need to do. So this is an interesting thing. God says you can test him. Normally we don't have this. Like, God doesn't make promises. Sometimes you can do all the right things in life, and it doesn't mean life's going to be easy. It doesn't. There are people that have done everything they're supposed to do, and it's just somehow their life is a test. You know, the Abraham had a hard life. You know, what it's hard to. But over here, God makes a promise, and He says basically that if you give charity, you won't suffer for it. That's basically the rule. You give the tithing, test me in this. Oh my! This is what Hashem says, and His wording here is very beautiful. He says, "How am I going to get paid back? Here I'm going to. I work so hard to farm my land. You know, I watered, I plowed, I harvested, I winnowed, I got my grain. I did so much hard work, and you're telling me I should give away a tenth? How am I going to get that back? So this is what God says. He says, I'm going to open up the windows from the heavens, and it's going to rain. The wealth will just come. It'll just come raining down. They've made this into a number of songs, by the way, because it's like a very beautiful idea that you know, the blessing will rain down from the heavens. Now, what's very interesting is we get the word of the Dayenu word in here, which is in the Haggadah. The word Day means it would be enough. Basically, we all want this blessing. We want there to be so much money coming in that we tell God, okay, I have enough. When's the last time somebody said that? I don't need any more money. That's it, God. I'm praying. It's okay. It's enough. So God says, I'm going to give you so much blessing that's going to flow if you'll just, you know, do what you're supposed to do and share and give to the poor and the truma and the maaser. So God says, I'm going to open the windows of the heavens and you'll be so blessed, ad v'lidai. Until you'll have had enough. You won't say, I don't have any more room in my bank account. I just don't know what to do with it all. Now, sometimes you have a lot of food, but you're afraid, well, what happens if my stocks go down? What happens if, in those days, if they had a lot of food, the food could go bad. The grasshoppers could come. So even if you had a really good harvest, maybe you don't want to give to the poor because what if the grasshoppers come? So Hashem said, I'll take care of that. I'll protect what you have. There won't be any locusts. And you'll have plenty of vines and they won't lose their fruits. Everything will be great. And the nations of the world, they'll all praise you. Very interesting. We always seem to want the praise of the nations. That they, when they see that this is how you are, that you're charitable and giving and loving, Hashem says the. Some people like to. There's a concept that in life some people are givers and some people are takers, and the truth is it's a little more complicated than that. Sometimes we need things. Sometimes, but conceptually we want to train ourselves to want to give. We want to imitate Hashem, and we realize that's where blessing comes from. If Hashem gives us things, then being able to share them with others is the greatest blessing. So Hashem says, the nations of the world will praise you. And you're going to be in Israel, Oma Hashem's focus. Verse 13. It's interesting. The prophet goes back and forth with the good, the criticism and the rebuke and the words of comfort. So God says, "You guys spoke against me." Chizku alai divreichem, Omar Hashem. He says, "I know what you guys said." So and Vamarta. Now again, he's going back and forth, and this is a particular style of this prophet. Like he and you're going to say, "Well, what do we say?" God is going to criticize you and say, "You guys spoke against me." Vamartam Amadya, and you're going to say, what did we say? Vamartam Shav Oved Elokim. Because in your heart, many people will say, what use is serving God? What use is doing all these mitzvahs? Ma betza, what do we gain? Ki sham mishartam, ki lachta kanam, ne'a shamas fokus. People will say, what value is there to this service? It sounds like the wicked son in the Haggadah, like, you know, what is this service to you, right? Verse, and instead, people praise people that rebel. Gam nivnu osei risha and the wicked. Gam bachnu elokim. And this also God has tested us, and v'yamitan, and he'll spare us. So we've got to go back to seeing value into serving Hashem. Again, and it's a dual thing. It's the taking care of others, and it's the service of Hashem. Now, very interesting what he says here. This idea that they often quote this is that people need to help each other out. Oz nida b'yirei Hashem isho re'ehu. That those that are trying to do the right thing have to strengthen each other. In other words, people that, Oz yidabru, I'm on verse 16, people that fear Hashem and respect Hashem, they need to talk to each other, they need to strengthen each other, they need to encourage each other. And then Hashem will listen. It's written that he will listen, and it's written in the book, those that fear him and those that respect him. 17. There'll be a day. The days are going to come when there'll be this judgment. And judgment is a very scary thing because none of us are perfect. But God promises, I'll take pity on you. Why? Just like a person takes pity on their children, that serves him, v'shaftem, and you'll return or isem, and you'll see the difference. So again, that sometimes people wonder, like, what do I get from all this? You know, I'm getting rid of all the chametz, and my neighbor's sitting out there on the lawn chair and enjoying the flowers, and I'm sitting in here cleaning it away. What do I need it for? So in people's hearts, God says, I know you've been saying that. But people will see the difference between Tzadik L'Rasha, Bein Oved Elokim, as we turn to 12:21, between those that serve God and those that don't. And again, he speaks of the future. Ki hinei hayom ba. And again, throughout the exile, these are the challenges of the two sets of mitzvahs, the mitzvahs of the poor and the widow and paying wages on time and giving charity, and then the mitzvahs of serving the Almighty and following the statutes and the shatness, and the person gets a brand new suit, he's got to go run, drop it off in the synagogue and make sure that there's no wool. Like, there's like always another mitzvah to do. Like, there's always, so you can look at it in two ways. You might say, well, what do I need this for? What do I get from it? And so God says in the future, you'll know. You'll see what you get from it. You'll see, the benefit of each mitzvah. 19. Behold, the day will come. Now, again, he's describing the future, the messianic time. And he describes it as being very hot. It's interesting because radiation is like that. It's like there'll be a day where it'll be hot like an oven. And there's, on a hot day, there's two things that happen. That for some people, it's too hot, and some people enjoy the heat. They feel refreshed by it. So he says the wicked and the people that have done, either they're wicked or they've done wicked things, kosh, they'll be like stubble. They'll just be gone. Well, out of some, they'll be like a burning. That's where, they often talk about H-E-L-L is like burning. Like, there'll be like this fire that'll burn up. There are a lot of evil in the world. When the day comes, the sun, it's interesting also because it almost talks like removing the sun's rays. We talk about the ozone layer. There's a lot of talk about the global warming is that the ozone layer is going to go, and so we won't be protected from the global warming. That's what it says. When the Mashiach comes, there'll be global warming. But the good news is it's only going to affect the terrorists, the bad people. In other words, the people that there'll be the sun will come out and it'll burn the wicked and those that do bad. And to those that do good, they'll be fine. We'll see that in the next line. Those that do bad, there will be no root. They'll be totally gone. Verse 20. But what about those that do good? Those that fear my name, the sun will go on them, and shmi shemesh tzedakah umarpa, and the sun will be healing. There's a lot of healing qualities to sun. They know that. Like, there's certain, the sun, a person doesn't feel well, they sit out in the sun a little bit, you have to put on the lotions, you don't get burned and this and that. But, the sun's, there's healing qualities to the sun. The people that are good, they'll be healed. So we have the same sun that's going to punish the wicked is going to reward the righteous. V'yotzo pishim gegle marvik. And, I don't know this idea that we'll be like fat cows. I don't know what that. I guess fat cows look like they're pretty happy. They got nothing to worry about. It'll be healing. I think that the work animals were very skinny. The mules and the horses and the camels. Whereas the cows, that you fatten them up. you know, and they looked very happy and very, they didn't work so hard. But the only difference was that was because you were going to shecht them, you know, afterwards. But he's saying that, that life will be so good that we'll just be able to, you know, be, feel like we have plenty to eat and plenty to go with. 21. And vasosim rishoyim, and you'll step on the wicked. They'll be like the dust. Takas kamfes regleihem. And that'll all happen on the day Asher Yineosa. There'll be a day, there'll be an accounting at some point in history where the wicked will not continue. Now this on verse 22 is like the final, final words. These are the final words of the final prophet and the final book. And it's interesting too because, you know, the prophets talked a lot about different themes and this and that. He says, don't forget, Zikru Torah Moshe. Remember the Torah of Moshe. Even though the prophets had a lot of new themes and a lot of ideas and a lot of, they were all in the Torah of Moshe. Like anybody that gets away from the Torah, that's not from our religion. Every prophet, there was nothing new. Like the prophet said, remember the Torah of Moshe. Originally, when the Reform movement started, there was a dilemma, and that is that it's hard for, you know, society is always made up of wicked people, good people, and average people. It's always been the case. And, you know, that's what they say the word tzibur, community, is tzadikim, beinonim, rishoyim, the righteous, the average, and the wicked. That's always been that way. And people are always bothered by the Jews that are people that are not doing what they're supposed to. And when the Reform movement came along initially, the Jewish community was observant. In Europe, they were all observant. But not everybody was a good person. So they emphasized what they called prophetic Judaism, which was the words of the prophets, taking care of the poor and the widow. And today that's become Tikkun Olam. And they weren't totally wrong, because that's one of the two parts of Judaism, is caring for others. And sometimes when you read the books of the prophets, you see that was the emphasis, because they didn't have a problem with people keeping Shabbos and people keeping kosher. Everybody did that. That was taken for granted. They never had a problem with people. People weren't eating pork and shrimp and not keeping it. They were living in Israel. My goodness, you know that. But not everybody cared for one another, and not everybody was honest in business. Not everybody took care of the widow and the poor and the stranger, and they gave the charity they were supposed to. Therefore, the books of the prophets were. They thought, well, you know what, let's get rid of all the observance and just do the caring for the poor and the widow. Today, you know, Tikkun Olam has changed, where it's not just charity, it's become, you know, global warming, and it's become Save the Whale, and it's questionable whether individual people are really helped with all these, you know, the some of the charities that are out there are not necessarily the same as what we call tzedakah, you know, where people who need help are being helped. That's really what it boiled down to, you know.
Priorities,
right. But the idea they got, they liked the words of the prophets, in other words, and they're true, but the prophets tended to emphasize what we call beinam lechaveru, between man and man.
But they were doing it more for assimilation to agree with the Christians.
Mm-hmm. Than they were to
Germany, yeah.
Right.
I think it's coming back a whole lot.
Yes, people are looking more towards observance. That's correct. But this is the very last prophet and the very last message. And what he wants to say is, even though the prophets didn't sit and say, don't eat shrimp and eat kosher and don't, you know, go keep Shabbos and, you know, put the mezuzah up in the talus. But Zikru Toras Moshe. It's just because they were emphasizing that wasn't the problem then. But he's saying, don't forget Toras Moshe. No, that was understood in those days, Toras Moshe. But the prophets also, you can't really separate them. It was never a good, it wasn't like the prophets only talked about, they also talked about Shabbos when it was necessary, and they talked about, but the finishing line is, remember the Torah. You know, remember the written, you got to remember, take care of the poor and the widow and the orphan, but remember Torah's Moshe, remember all the laws of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. Who is Moshe? Moshe Avdi, my servant Moshe. And what does that include? Asher Sevisi Osa Bechorev, that I commanded through him on Har Sinai, Chorev is another name for Sinai, and I did it to the entire Jewish people. And those laws, there's two parts of those laws. There's the chukim, they're statutes, which means there are things that we're never going to understand. You know, the whole year round bread is fine, and all of a sudden on Pesach I can't eat it. You know, what is, I don't understand. Is bread good? Is it not good? Is it, why are some things okay? No, they're chukim, they're statutes. That's just the way. And then they're mishpatim, they're things that we really understand. Now he tells us the secret, which we all know, which is how's the Mashiach going to come? When are we going to know? So I think it's funny, you know, that, you know, the Messiah, the Christians like that idea, but where's Elijah? You know, Elijah never came, so we know it's all, you know. Hashem says that before I send the Messiah, I'm going to send Elijah. And by the way, after Shabbos, we always sing about Elijah, Eliyahu, and we sing about him on Pesach, too, because we're waiting for that day. In other words, we want to come back. We want things to be sweet again. We want no more trouble. We want a better world with not so much suffering. So Hashem says, don't worry. It's going to happen soon. Hinei Anochi, behold, I will send you Eliyahu Anavi. I'm going to send Eliyahu Anavi. And his name is, it's interesting, it's spelled, it's missing a letter. Eliyahu, it's like the shorter version of his name. But Hashem says, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. I'm going to send him lifnei bo yom Hashem, before the day. So we always ask for Eliyahu because we know he's going to be the one that's going to announce that the Mashiach is coming. He's going to tell us. When we see Eliyahu, that's when it's going to happen. That's when he's going to be the one that's going to tell us that the day is coming, that the day is here. So God says, I'm going to send to you Es Eliyahu Anavi, Elijah the prophet, and he's going to come, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, before that day. Again, this day where there'll be the judgment, where the wicked will be punished and the righteous will be healed, Elijah will come first. And that day, now again, this is the Shabbos HaGadol. We believe that Shabbos, this is a big Shabbos independent of Pesach. It's a very spiritual day. In other words, the seed of redemption, this is the month of redemption, Nisan. This is the time where it's a very special time in the year, this season. Like this time of year has the ability for miraculous things to happen. So he says that I'm going to send on this great day. Gadol can mean big or great. I don't know, it depends on how you Shabbos Hagadol. Depends on Gadol means like big or awesome or mighty. How does he translate it? He calls it
great.
Great. Yeah. He says the great. So sometimes when you say Shabbos Hagadol, we think of it as a big Shabbos, but it's a great Shabbos. Shabbos Hagadol. So Hashem says before the great day, and it could be that the Shabbos for Pesach is Shabbos HaGadol because we know that the eventual redemption can happen through Pesach. In other words, every year when we say next year in Yerushalayim, that's because we know that when we celebrate Pesach, that has the seed of redemption in it. And it's the season. And maybe it'll happen this year. And that's why at the end of the Seder, Eliyahu Hanavi, because we're there. We're ready. We're waiting. It's we're close to it because Pesach is the holiday where of miracles. It's the season of miracles. It brings us close. So Hashem says, behold, the day will come. You know, you know, there's going to be an exile. The temple's going to be destroyed and you're going to be scattered. But the day will come and I'll send Elijah to you. And he'll be there first before that great. Now he adds another word, Hanora. It'll be fearful. Well, does he call that? Fearful also means like it'll be scary. It's a little scary that there'll be judgment, that the wicked will be punished. And but there is a promise here, and that is we all have things that we're not proud of. So if the Mashiach comes all of a sudden, we're scared that maybe we'll all be deserving of some punishment. So this is what Hashem tells us. The Heshiv Levavos. Elijah's going to come, and he's going to start a tshuva movement. He's going to bring us back so that we'll be worthy to enjoy the times that if we've done things that are wrong, that's okay. God loves us. He wants us reject our those things that we've done that are bad. We have a way to fix them. We'll do teshuva. Now, he says an interesting thing. Veheshiv lev avos al habanim, and he'll return the hearts of the fathers to the children, v'lev banim al avosam. It's a very interesting way of expression. The basis, sometimes the exile has made it, the way it should be is that parents and children should be close. but sometimes things happen. And that's not the way it should be. And Elijah the prophet is going to bring the children back to the parents and the parents back to the children. So it's very interesting. What does it mean? Until that time, it was like the children would rebel against the parents. So what does it mean that he's going to return the hearts of the fathers to the children? In other words, it should say first, return the children to the fathers, because the fathers, are, they're the house, and then the children leave, you know, they go away from the ways of the fathers. So
in the Ba'at Teshuva movement,
yes,
there's strain between the children making returning,
yes,
and the parents who aren't there yet.
Okay, beautiful. So that's what they say. You answered the question. In early times, the parents were observant and religious, and the kids would always push the envelope. They always went away from the parents. And so the idea was to bring them back. Bring them back to the religion. Bring them back to the ways of, you know, our grandparents were very, you know, pious and religious. And we were less so. And they wanted us to, we'll come back. Don't worry, we'll come back. But what does it mean, bring the hearts of the parents back to the fathers? So there was a commentary written over 900 years ago. And he said that, believe it or not, it'll get so bad that even the parents won't be so religious. And the kids will be the ones to discover religion, and they'll bring the parents back. So I saw somebody comment on this. It was actually, I knew a rabbi, was a Holocaust survivor, and I just remember it like yesterday because he was in his 80s and he was showing me this commentary. And he was saying that we live in a time where that happens, where the kids, sometimes the parents, they don't know from religion, they don't know from anything. And the kids, they find their way back, and then they bring the parents back. So apparently that'll be one of the, that'll also happen at that time. There'll be two things. It says the parents will come back to the kids and the kids will come back to the parents. Mm-hmm. Now you'll see both kinds of teshuva. But it's just interesting, like you said, that's also what's going to happen on this Shabbos HaGadol, on this great time. This will have to happen. Others will have to be teshuva in order for that to happen. And then we repeat this one line. Again, we repeat it because it's important. But again, because of the theme of Shabbos HaGadol, Hine Anochi, and they made this into songs a lot of the beautiful ideas they make into songs because they're inspiring. They want people to remember them. So that's why it's in the NCSY Venture. It's like one of the songs. There's a song about it. But Hine Anochi Shaleo, behold, God says, I'll send to you Elijah the prophet, and he'll come first before that amazing day and help bring us back. And so that's really the goal, is that, you know, there'll be a day of judgment, but we'll have a chance to come back and return to Hashem. Again, that's symbolized by the Pesach offering, but that's the very last message of the book.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.